Tell me about the scent, Ewan.
As Gaelic was sliding towards extinction, there is a realization, a strong movement to get something done about it. And as resources were all concentrated in the north, and Samhain Rostig has been extremely useful in bringing the image of Gaelic to the world. But it does mean, of course, exercise a sort of centrifugal pull. And islands with different dialects, like ourselves, were suffering very badly through that. Because the bother then, you get a place that's held up as being the correct place or the centre of knowledge. Then anyone whose dialect doesn't fit in with that is they're obviously wrong, which is a real problem and not something I want to encourage. So it was actually the then education minister pushed for something to be done in Islay, and it came around at a good time. This building was lying empty. It had started its life as the Fever Hospital just over 100 years ago, and then gradually, as the need for that had died and a new hospital had been built, it became part of the council property. It was used for various things, degenerating finally into being kept for storing sand and road materials, and then nothing at all. So it was costing the council money to keep it wind and watertight. It would have cost them money to demolish it. They were needing a centre for Gaelic. It made sense to put the two things together. So this place ended up, I'm not 100% sure, I think it was sold for something like £10 or some nominal, just to shift it from the council books to the steering group here. And it's been refurbished, as you can see, into the centre as it stands. And we're hoping that we'll build up. And we're not in any sort of competition with Samhain Rostig. We look at ourselves as being a complementary institution, and something that we have in the south, which didn't have in the north, were links with Ireland. So we're trying to encourage those again.
So what kind of activities do you have?
In this, it is a learning centre of the Highlands and Islands, so that's a step beneath a college. And we offer full-time courses for the Bachelor of Arts in Gaelic Studies. It's very difficult for us to attract students out with the island because we don't have dedicated accommodation. And most of the accommodation here is it's going spare, it's holiday accommodation. And thanks to, in my opinion, a very ill-judged policy of selling off council houses, there's very little mobility. And with the influx from the south, house prices have risen to a totally unrealistic level that young people can't afford to buy here anymore.
Here too.
Oh, it's very bad here, very bad. An ex-council house was sold in Portellan, two-bedroomed ex-council house, not particularly attractive area. Last year for 93,000. I mean, that's just out. And that's a council house which should never have been sold in the first place. Because at least that was something that young people could have got in the past. But nowadays, you'll find a lot of the ex-council houses, well, maybe not a lot, but several, are being used as holiday houses. They were bought over when the member of the family died or went into care and
So they're
refurbished and let out as holiday accommodation. And I've stayed in two ex-council houses since I've been here, which have been let as holiday accommodation. So, as I say, it's difficult for us to attract students from outside the island. This is a wee island. The initial need for this course was to some extent addressed with students who've gone through the entire system and have now graduated, one of whom is employed here in the centre. Another has just qualified as a school teacher and will be starting in the local Gaelic medium unit in August. We offer the course at Comish, which is the first year of the BA course, as a higher national certificate, and that can be done either full time over 1 year or part time over two. Our more specialist modules are done by video conferencing from Sky. But in addition to that, obviously, we're not solely concentrating on that. We do community classes, evening classes. We do a support class for people studying the course at Eintracht, the distance learning course from Sky. We do children's classes. With a young girl who takes, it's called Gaelic, or Gaelic for Fun, rather, to primary age children. They come in a Thursday evening. I've just advertised a class. We'll see what the uptake is. Gaelic for Tourists, and this will be a way of being just a 1 hour, fun session. Mm-hmm. If tourists want to come in, have a cup of tea and do a wee bit of Gaelic, just so they've got some idea of the language of the area and maybe how to pronounce some of the place names.
Mm.
It's not intended as a serious academic study, it's just to raise interest.
Yeah.
We've got fiddle classes going, chanted classes, the pipe band meets in here for practice, so that's actually not under our auspices, it's just a convenient place to meet. And anything that we can do to encourage Gaelic arts or culture or history of Islay or Scotland in its widest sense, we try to do. So we're trying to expand what we offer by way of courses all mm-hmm. the time. And the conference here for the languages of Scotland and Ulster, we're delighted to be hosting. It's our first serious academic conference. We hope that we can have more of the same type of thing, but obviously this is a wee institution. It's not a main conference venue.
No, but it's a nice place for a conference.
Well, I'm biased, I think so. And there are advantages to meeting in a wee place as opposed to a bigger institution, just as there are disadvantages. It's a question of what people want. But we feel this is very useful. We've got Radio and Gael here for a week. So again, it's putting Islay on the map of the Gaelic world, apart from the academic one. And I've taken the opportunity to speak to a couple of my dear colleagues in Radio and Gael to point out that I think more could be done by the broadcasting service as regards to Southern Islands. We do tend to get overlooked. By the very nature of the thing, if the majority is in the far north, then obviously the far south is going to come off worse to some. I'm sure you understand that, being from the Northern Islands. Frequently in a wee box on the map, isn't it? You don't even get the dignity of being in your proper geographical position.
But I was quite surprised when I read in the brochure how many people still spoke Gaelic in Islay.
Yes.
Because I hadn't really thought of it as being prevalent in this area. Well, not prevalent, but
still available. Live. Yes, yes. And again, I feel that the broadcasting service has done us a disservice in that, because Islay gets virtually no exposure, so why would anybody know? Mm-hmm. And you would assume that there's a reason why nobody ever comes here. And you would assume that that reason is there's no point in coming because there's nobody to come to.
Yes, and that's not true. But you say it's very dialectal here. So.
Well, I think any wee area has got its own dialect. And there is no connection between the islands when I was a child. No political connection anyway. The Ayrshire Islands came under the auspices of Argyll County Council, run from Kilpatrick on the mainland. Mm-hmm. Skye and Uist came under, am I correct, Inverness, and Lewis and Harris came under Ross and Cromarty. I could have, that's just speaking from memory. So they didn't communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't communicate with them. There's no direct transport links between the islands. They're not connected up in any sort of a meaningful way. During the summer, there is a boat which goes from Islay to Colonsay to Oban once a week.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
So if you want to go to the Western Isles, the Northern Western
you
Isles.
Have to go to the mainland. If you have to go to another of the Ayrshire Islands, you have to go to the mainland and come back out. The only island you can get to regularly from Islay is Jura. Mm-hmm. And Jura people can't get to the mainland. Jura people have to come to Islay and then go to the mainland. There's no regular direct. And so naturally, and with very little on the television, when I was a child, there was one programme a week, as far as I remember anyway, there may have been more, called Shared Better, which showcased Gaelic singing and traditional music.
Mm.
Which, as a child growing up, was probably the most boring thing they could have put on the TV. I mean, seeing the McDonald sisters in axe kilts.
Yeah, that's right.
Giving it far and beam heen. Not really interesting to an older generation, but obviously wasn't to me. So you didn't have any... You never heard people from the other islands speaking.
No.
You never came across them. And obviously, without anything on the television to break down the local accent...
Yes,
it's... You end up gradually moving apart.
Mm-hmm.
And also... As I've discovered, as I've started studying Gaelic, we have kept things, certain words in Islay, which have died out in the remainder of Scotland. Whether it's because we have closer links with Ireland, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you find certain words are the word of choice in Islay, and they'll be the word of choice in the north of Ireland, but not the word of choice elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, an example that comes to mind, Davinali is the word for a spider. It's also the word for a spider in Irish.
Yeah.
Slightly different stress. And then there is the word fiatir for a spider or a weaver.
Mm-hmm.
It's only used for a weaver or a knitter further north, but that is the word in Islay, the normal word for a spider. The other word is understood. The word of choice is fiatid. And that is a word of choice in parts of the north of Ireland as well, though they would also have Davanali. And the pronunciation which we have for the EU sound here is the original old sound, whereas in the north it's become an IE sound. So instead of being an E sound, it's an IA sound. So you get, if you're not accustomed to that, you think it's a different word.
People
are saying. You know, the first time I heard somebody say something about seeing an Ian out the window, I thought they were talking about a man whose name happened to be Ian. And then it dawned on me they meant A in a bird. You get these wee confusions. But it's the same language. It's just simply a local accent, a local dialect, certain dialect words.
Well, you were closer to Ireland originally, presumably. Yes. The settlers came over. Or...
And the connection came after the political link collapsed, after the fall of the Lordship of the Isles, when the MacDonalds of Islay had ruled the north of a big part of the north of Ireland, the Glens of Antrim around that area, and there was regular travel and intermarriage between the islands. After that collapsed, the link still remained to that extent. And the attempts to recreate the Lordship had support from the north of Ireland. I think it's mainly the Reformation has dealt the biggest body blow to the links. The minute that religion comes into the equation, it causes problems where they hadn't existed previously. And of course, there isn't the transport link the way there is between this island and the mainland of Scotland. But there is a regular fishing trade in my own lifetime. But of course, now that the fish have gone to that extent, that link is gone. It's a problem. But people from Islay would regularly attend Ballycastle Fair, for example. And the method of peat cutting here is the same as the method of peat cutting in the north of Ireland, not the method of peat cutting in the outer island. It's a different implement. We would use a different style of doing it. And there are links like that. There is no meaningful history of walking songs here the way there is in a place like Barra. I mean, Barra is a huge wealth of walking songs where the women would shrink the cloth and sing to keep time. But that was really their only way of getting cloth in the outer islands. We could trade with Ireland. Wasn't the same, quite the same here. So there are the historical differences, and there were the links that kept up right into my own lifetime. I mean, I remember Irish ceilidh bands coming over to play here for some of the dances when I was a student. But with the troubles,
that's caused
problems, but as they are temporarily anyway, and not quite as bad as they were.
No, it could go back.
And for, I would say, academically, there seems to be more of a resurgence in the north of Ireland of Irish as well. So more interest in the north of Ireland, at least that's what it seems to me, in the north of Ireland to try to recreate links to Scotland, because they're now looking themselves at their own language. For a while there, Irish language was virtually unobtainable in the north of Ireland in the school, the state school system. It's taught in the Catholic schools, but if it was taught in a non-denominational school, I don't know of one. May have been. It certainly wasn't common.
No.
So I think it's only now, in the last few years, that it's become not just acceptable, but there seems to be a move afoot to really encourage it. And speaking to somebody in BBC Northern Ireland just a couple of days ago, he was saying that the Irish department there is growing quite fast, and they're doing quite a lot. Whereas maybe there was somebody working on Irish in BBC Northern Ireland years ago, but certainly never heard of such a thing.
No. Oh, that sounds quite cheerful.
Well, I hope it is.
Good.
But then we have to hope.
Yeah.
Our history has not been one of glorious triumphs.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much.